We find ourselves now in the middle of a period known as the 3 weeks, which begins with Shivasar B'Tammuz, the fast day in which we commemorate the time in which the various empires surrounded, the Roman Empire surrounded the walls of the city of Yerushalayim and ultimately broke through the city, and consequently resulting in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, which we continue to reflect upon throughout these 3 weeks period into the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av, as the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha, we lessen our state of happiness, our rejoicement, reflect upon the mourning and morose sadness and consequences of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, which consummates our reflection on the day of Tisha B'Av itself, which is the most reflective day in the Jewish calendar regarding the concept of mourning. And there are a number of parshiot in the Torah which classically are situated during this time of reflection. Now obviously these parshiot are not or were not planned in the divine plan of the organization of the Torah itself to coincide with this time of the 3 weeks and Tisha B'Av, because the Torah was written and brought to Bnei Yisrael thousands of years before these events revealed themselves in our Jewish history. However, we in Judaism always subscribe to the concept of Hashgacha Pratit, that there is a divine connection and divine intervention in everything that happens in our world, and to a large extent there is a correlation between the parshiot in the Torah that we read during this 3 week period and the message of reflection on the Churban HaBayit, the destruction of the Batei HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av. This week's parsha of Maseh, which literally means journeys and travels, the first pasuk in the parsha itself is completely reflective. We've already gone through these events, and the Torah appreciates the need to repeat all of the various travels and journeys that we experienced in the Midbar. And so the Torah in this week's parsha opens, Eile Maseei Bnei Yisrael Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim L'Tzivotam B'Yad Moshe V'Yaharon. These are the travels, the journeys that Bnei Yisrael sojourned during their time in the desert when they came out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi explains, why is this necessary to delineate all of the travels? Lama Nechtevu HaMaseot HaLalu. Why is it necessary, says Rashi, lehodia chasadav shel hamakom, to demonstrate the kindness and the mercy of Hashem, she'af al pi shegazar aleihem letaltalam ulahaniyam bamidbar, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, decreed upon Bnei Yisrael that they would have to journey for many years in the desert, Lo tomar shayu na'imu mitaltalim mimasa lemasa kol arba'im shana velo hayta lehem menucha. The Torah wants to reveal to us that there was also a positive side, a positive aspect. Even though Bnei Yisrael were apparently punished and subjugated to traveling the desert for many years, those travels were not necessarily met always with controversy, difficulty, and hardships. But rather Hashem tried to demonstrate as much compassion and mercy during those travels as well, in which He lessened the amount of times that Bnei Yisrael would have to move from one place to another. So even though they found themselves in a desert, even though they were in a state of nomadic journey, nonetheless, their journeys, the times that they had to move, were lessened. purposely by Hashem so that there should be some positive perspective, so that there should be recognition at the same time of punishment of compassion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I believe that what Rashi is suggesting, perhaps, is a very important lesson for Am Yisrael to gain perspective. Really, this parsha of Maaseh can represent the long and arduous journey that Am Yisrael have throughout their history, not only during the 40 years of the course of the desert, but really the many, many years, the 3,000 and some on, that have been so difficult and that have been met with such trial and tribulation time after time. The Jewish people were expected to see that sometimes, due to outside sources and due to our own self-destructiveness at times, we have wandered and we have experienced a very challenging journey throughout our years. And yet, Rashi, the first Rashi of this week's Parsha, perhaps comes to remind us that not only in the desert, but in our long trapped exile of the desert, it is crucial throughout all of our journeys, historically speaking, for us to gain perspective, to understand and appreciate that we always travel mi'afela le'ora, from difficulties, from mourning, from sadness, from destructiveness, to the light of reconstruction, to the light and to the positives of a rejuvenation. And there are positives that we can derive as well when we learn from the mistakes that we make, when we appreciate what we have gone through, that builds ultimately and enables a certain classic resilience that we have seen throughout our history, an ability to survive against all odds. And I think that this is the message of Maaseh, of the first Rashi of the Parsha, and it's a message which carries over to this particular period of the 3 weeks itself. These 3 weeks, we also embark upon and experience a journey which begins with Shivasar B'Tammuz, which continues into the 3 weeks period until we approach Rosh Chodesh Av Shemimaatin B'Simcha, and then we approach Shavua Shechalbo, the next level of Avelut, of mourning, the week in which Tisha B'Av falls out and which pinnacles at Tisha B'Av itself. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bone alamot u'machariban. Medrash in Bereshit Rabbah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu classically builds worlds and then destroys them. And the question is obvious. What's the point? What's the reason? The Medrash should not necessarily be taken face value, but the Medrash is revealing to us that we are expected to learn from our mistakes. Worlds are built, worlds are destroyed. If those worlds are destroyed based on the fact that we search for self-improvement and for self-improvement and understanding and introspect, then ultimately even the machrivan, even the churva, the destructiveness, can help to further establish a greater, stronger, and more resilient society. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the world was based on Alpayim Shenot Tohu, Alpayim Shenot Torah, and Alpayim Shenot Mashiach. Were there 6,000 years within the existence of the world, 2,000 years were premised upon destruction, two that were complete confusion, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of the period of the Messiah, of the Mashiach. The world was tohu vavohu. The original part of the world was complete chaos until Avraham Avinu came and introduced the concept of Torah. During the 2,000 years of chaos, however, one could turn around and say, what's the point? What's it here for? How is it helping us? But ultimately, it revealed a greater construction, the introduction of Avraham Avinu, of monotheism, of belief in Hashem, of morals and values which were introduced into this world. Even were we to look at this not necessarily through national and global parameters, but on an individual basis, we look at Avraham Avinu himself, the world that introduced of Torah. Even in his personal life, he's instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform the Akedat Yitzchak, the ultimate personal churban that Avraham experienced. Complete and utter destruction, complete and utter despair. And yet ultimately, when Avraham is willing to perform this churban, even though it's a mitzvah, he's prepared to sacrifice his beloved son, who would ultimately, what he thought would be the future of the Jewish people. In the end, that churban, that step towards destruction that he was prepared to do in sacrificing his son, revealed fantastic and awesome kedusha, the holiness, the revelation, the kedusha of Har HaMoriah, Mount Moriah, where ultimately the Beit HaMikdash and the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, would reside. And so Avram's move towards destruction revealed a revelation of positives, of construction, of rejuvenation, of kedusha, of sacredness and holiness in this world. When a person gets married, so the way, depending on the way a person looks at it, obviously it's a tremendous simcha. But were we to reflect on it in a different way, theoretically one could say that although a person's getting married, he's really involved in destruction. He or she are now leaving their family. The parents are terribly sad that they see their child go. Their relationships together with their parents, with their siblings, with their entire family structure will be different and perhaps in a serious way affected. So what's the point? The point is that they may be, so to speak, destroying their past relationships or sending it into a state of chaos, but it's for the sake of constructing a future relationship. It's now time to build another family in Am Yisrael. And that's precisely why we call it Livnot Bayit Ne'eman B'Yisrael. We bless a new couple that they should be zoche to build, to construct a new house in Israel. The concept is very clear, that we look at various events, both personal, individual, as well as congregational, communal, and national. And while they may appear destructive in nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to appreciate that if we value them, if we learn from them, and if we embrace their directives, that ultimately they will reveal the prime and purpose of reconstruction, of greater kedusha, which is enabled in this world. The Gemara in Psachim darshins a fascinating point on the pasuk in Zechariah. The Gemara in Psachim and Daf Nun Amar Aleph says, "V'haya Hashem the Melech al kol ha'aretz b'yom ha'hu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad." God's name will be the king over all of the land, and on that day, God's name will be one. Says the Gemara, "Atu ha'idna lav echadu." Does this imply that only in the future God's name will be revealed as the only Master One, and today He's not so? Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, Rabbi Achi bar Acha bar Chanina answered as follows: Lo keolam hazeh haolam haba, haolam hazeh al besurot tovot omer baruch hatov v'ameitiv, v'al besurot ra'ot omer baruch dayan ha'emet. The Olam Haba, Kulo Hatova Metiv Ushmo Echad. Says Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, we have to differentiate between this world and the world to come. In this world, we still look at things as positive and negative. We make a bracha on what appears to be good and great. We say Hatova Metiv. And what appears to be tragic, we say, Baruch Dayin HaEmet, we accept the gzardin, the decree of Hashem. But le'olam haba, in the world to come, which is not the world to come, Rav Kook explains, it says in the Gemara, le'olam haba, in the next world, not the next world as we know it when a person passes, but in the next world as we know it when we experience Geula, the redemption of the Jewish people, during that part of our history, we will be able to make a bracha on what appears to be bad as well. We will also say, Hatova Hametiv. Le'olam haba kulo Hatova Hametiv. Ushmo Echad. Everything will appear to be good. Everything will establish the oneness and the great name of Hashem. Why is that? Because at that time, the Jewish people will recognize in reflection that all of the history that we experienced, all of the tragedies, all of the various challenges and obstructions that we experienced and then threatened our existence, were ultimately to reveal a greater redemption. Ultimately, they were part also of the chesed of Hashem, that He would give us throughout our journey, and would reveal itself to us in the end of days. As Jewish people, we have no choice but to adopt the perspective of Eile Masei Bnei Yisrael Asher Yatzu Me'eretz Mitzrayim, to understand that there's no question that we will experience and have experienced and will continue to experience a tremendously challenging journey, which is filled with trial and tribulation and obstacles within our path. But at the same time, with all of that being said, it is absolutely crucial that we adopt a perspective that all of these various confrontations and challenges will ultimately reveal the holiness of Hashem, the greater positives of Hatov Vahametiv. People very often ask me when I call them and speak to them in the States, they say to me classically, how are things in Israel? And I know that they're expressing a genuine interest in the country and in what's going on here. They want to be a part of it. Theoretically, I could always answer them that there's this problem and that problem. There's much, much room to complain and much, much room to demonstrate the problems that we're always experiencing, which reveal themselves in many areas and facets of society. And I always answer the same thing. It's always labedik here. There are always things in motion. There are always things happening. Well, perhaps it's wrong that I don't necessarily say positives, but I certainly am not prepared to start complaining about the negatives. And I think that this is true. In Jewish history, we have to view everything that happens to us as always labedik. Everything is in motion. Everything is always moving. Why? Because that movement allows us to continue, regardless of the various obstructions that we may have experienced. And against all odds, this is what gives us our resilience to view and to anticipate a future and a reconstruction. And I think this is perhaps the exact reason why Chazal explained that B'Tisha B'Av Nolad HaMashiach, Mashiach Tzidkenu, our ultimate Savior, not only in a person, but an entire philosophy in which we look forward to our salvation as a people, was Nolad, gave birth to itself on Tisha B'Av, precisely, on the day in which we are completely ensconced by sadness, destruction, and mourning. We take time to reflect upon that destruction for the sake of anticipating our future and looking forward to a Geula Shleima, in which all of Am Yisrael can declare as one, Bayomahu Yiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad.